Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back for another episode of the Blue White Illustrated Recruiting Podcast. It's mid-February. Recruiting's a little slow right now. So Sean Fitz and I decided we're going to look back, take a little trip down memory lane this week. We're going to look at some of the more interesting commitments over the years, whether it's guys who have came as a surprise to us, whether guys trying to fake us out on where they're going. There's some fun stories to be told, and we think this will be a fun one. Let's get it started. What's up, Fitz? How was your weekend, man?
Weekend was good. Spent time down your way in the Hershey area for a swim meet. Got to pop over to Trogues, as you know I always enjoy, and it was a good time. How about yourself?
Boring, but that was okay. We'll take boring in mid-February. I took my kids to see a dirt bike race at Motorama. I don't know if anyone knows what Motorama is in Harrisburg, but I wouldn't say I'm really fit in with that crowd too well, but it was an interesting experience nonetheless. It's kind of fun watching those races. So if anyone was there, you guys know what I'm talking about. It's a fun crowd, an interesting crowd, but it was a good time nonetheless. But yeah, an easy weekend.
Boring is good. Boring is good in our field, and that's kind of how we'll segue into the show today, because you and I, we've been doing this for a long time. You started in 2010 when I left Rivals and went to 24/7. You came in as an intern, started covering, doing a great job. And then so we spent the last 13 years, for the most part, against each other, but with each other, doing some things. The one thing constant between us two is we don't like to know, or we hate not knowing what's going on. And sometimes we get surprised. Sometimes it's on purpose. Sometimes there's just things that we can't talk about, you know, all these things come together, but rarely do we get caught completely flat footed. It happens because, you know, this is recruiting and things are crazy. But you and I were just trying to figure out what are we going to talk about today? And there's nothing really going on. It's the dead period. They'll start getting guys back on campus in March, whatever. But thinking back, is sort of a retrofitted show here. And we had some fun, like going back over some old memories, and people always ask for stories and stuff like that. And sometimes you got to distance yourself a little bit from that time period before you can tell them. But it's always fun to reminisce and think back and look at some of these names, and like some of these names I haven't thought about in years. It's a really fun fun topic to attack today on the show.
Yeah, got to give it to Fitz. We were brainstorming to try and figure out a good show today, and this was Sean's idea. So. Props to you, Sean, on this one. I'll start by saying this. Some of these older ones, you know, to looking back to 2010, 2011, my memory is not always the best, so I'll let Sean handle most of those. I was also 22, 23, 24 at the time for some of these older ones. So, you know, maybe I wasn't as professional as I am now. We'll leave it at that as far as remembering all the details and things like that. Sean was a bit more seasoned at the time, but I would say over the last 13, 14 years, what, there's maybe like one, maybe two guys per each class that get us, right? You know, just whether it's a guy trying to mess with us or, you know, we just aren't around right when this kid pops at that right time. And that's what we're kind of going to talk about today. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, sometimes, I mean, it's not just getting us, it's getting the staff. You think back to January, Devin Carter calls up Taylor Stubblefield in the locker room after the Rose Bowl and commits and doesn't talk to James Franklin, puts out his own graphic. That's a huge red flag, by the way. When your graphic goes up and it's not from Penn State, things have come a long way in the graphics and social media department with Penn State in a short period of time. But when a kid puts out his own graphic, you're kind of like, what's going on? So when Devin Carter did that, I didn't take it as a sign of things to come, but guess what? It was a sign of things to come. So these are the little things we look for. And that's been something that's it's reared its ugly head the last couple of cycles. And it's not always like it never has the same outcome. Andre Roy committed in September of 2021, I think it was. I was in Wisconsin for the Ryder Cup at that point and just came out of nowhere, put out his own graphic, didn't talk to the staff. I got a call from somebody at Penn State, was like, we don't know what the hell is going on. And it was like, it was a sign of what was going to happen. Like, this is a kid that didn't do any of the processes that they put them through. And, you know, when I say processes they put them through, you have conversations with multiple people. You understand what it takes when Penn State is taking a commitment. And some guys just don't do that. On the flip side, Carmelo Taylor, who just signed with Penn State in December, did the exact same thing. Like, he didn't talk with them for a little bit. I think they were out at practice when he decided to tweet out his commitment. They were happy to take his commitment, but you always keep that in the back of your mind when something like that happens. So just some recent examples, because social media has been so crazy. Like, this stuff takes off. Like you could, somebody could tweet that, delete it, and somebody's got it. Like, it's a screenshot right away. It's never going away. So guys like Carmelo Taylor and Andre Roy, even though they were, you know, finished up in different situations, kind of set us scrambling. And it was like, especially since I was on vacation the first time, and we were just kind of like, what's going on here?
Well, first off, humble brag for the Ryder Cup. Good for you. I remember, I have two stories. So one, Carmelo Taylor, I'm getting fitted for a suit in a wedding I was about to be in. Props to Chad Simmons and those guys for handling it at the time. That was Carmelo. I'm not sure. You weren't on staff yet. Yeah. That was while you were enjoying another awesome vacation. But that was not a fun one. I remember being at one of those wedding places. I forget which one, Men's Warehouse or something like that, trying to work from a stall getting fitted for a suit. But Andre Roy, I think we can tell this story. I hope we can tell the story. And if not, someone's going to be mad at me, but I'll say it anyway. So you and I, we've worked for different companies at a time, but we've worked together a lot of times as well. And we get on a joint call with somebody, we're not going to say who, and that person basically called what played out with Andre Roy, which was that they weren't exactly sure how legit this commitment was. And then not only that, they wondered if Maryland or Roy or St. Francis were playing games here. And that's exactly how it played out. Of course, Jayshon Barham, the same thing kind of happened with South Carolina. They both flipped to Maryland, you know, right before signing day or during signing day, something like that. And I'll just never forget that call we had, because that person called it exactly. And I remember at the time thinking, like, man, that's some next level stuff there that I've never really noticed on the recruiting trail. I know those games happen, but not a specific example like this. And yeah, that's just one of those calls, one of those instances, man, where I'll never forget it, because Penn State knew exactly what was happening.
Yeah, it was all like conspiracy tinfoil hat type stuff at the time too. And like you said, they nailed it. And it was really funny, just like sitting back in hindsight. And I know people really take this seriously, and we take this seriously as our jobs, but like, when you can sit back and recognize the comedy aspect of everything, like, I was the only surprising thing about Jayshon Barham in hindsight was that he didn't do it to Penn State, is that he did it to South Carolina. And I know South Carolina has been trying to get in the DMV, and I know Mike Locksley has sort of done these things before. It's just, that's it's one of a kind situation. And it hasn't helped with St. Francis, obviously. And St. Francis, that's a funny thing. When that comes out, St. Francis tries to distance itself from that happening because it's got relationships to keep. Even though Penn State's never landed a guy from St. Francis, they still bring their guys up for visits. They still, you know, want their kids being offered and want this as an option, even though it hasn't worked out. But that's kind of just the comedy in it. It's just like, what are we doing here? Like that's when Brian Doan and I talk, like, and we talk about these crazy things, that it always comes back to Doan just going, what are we doing here? Like that's one of his catchphrases. So yes. That was cool. But beyond those guys, before all this, like 2010, like, so I'm getting 24/7 off the ground. You're an intern, whatever. Penn State's down in Tampa for the Outback Bowl. And I get a call. I'm driving down to the beach, actually, before I fly down to Tampa for the Outback Bowl. They end up playing against Florida. Matt McGloin would throw all the interceptions. Rob Bolden's dad would tell me that he was transferring, you know, just a mess of things in the next couple of days. But Anthony Zettel was announcing that night. And it was Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, and Penn State. And Penn State seemed like just an add-in because he'd been there a couple of times. I think he took an official visit. And it was really one of those things where you did not expect, like you expected it to be Michigan State. He's from West Branch, Michigan. Didn't grow up, I think, a Michigan or a Michigan State guy, but very, very tied in, close with his family, all that kind of stuff. So I get a call about 15 minutes before his announcement. And they were at the hockey game, a Tampa Bay Lightning game. And I was like, what's up? What's going on? He's like, yo. And I can't mention names here. Some of these guys are still in coaching. Some of these aren't. This guy isn't. But I was like, yo, we're getting Zettel. And I said, you got to be shitting me. And sorry, T. Frank, if I'm swearing, I forget the rules here. Didn't believe it. Had to pull off Route 70 and write a story. And Penn State got him. And that was an unbelievable pull at the time. There wasn't a good to know the rules on language there. It wasn't a situation where Penn State had a ton of momentum. It wasn't a situation where anybody expected him to go to Penn State. But getting him, like going to the board at that point and saying, you guys may want to tune into this one, was so big at that point for our site and our career, or my career, basically, that it was such a cool thing to happen. And it came together. He ended up going on to Penn State, doing great things, playing the NFL for a while, setting himself up pretty well. But man, Anthony Zettel, big member of Penn State's class of 2011, and really one of the few swerves that we were used to seeing at that point.
I was at the bar. I just had turned 21 not that long ago, and I was home for Christmas break, sleeping at my old parents' house. I'm like 21 at the time. And I just remember having to step out, and luckily I had my laptop on me. But unfortunately, I wasn't connected enough like you at the time, Sean, where I could get that 15-minute heads up. So I just remember scrambling at the time. But another one we'll go into, Gary Wooten. Remember Gary Wooten, class of 2011? So what was interesting with Gary, and Sean, you may remember some of the details a little bit better, but he got an offer like right before, was it while camp was going on? I think it was like in August, mid-August. And basically, I think Ted Roof offers him, and then he comes up. I don't know, was it for a visit, or was he just coming up and like, hey, I'm committed. Like, I'm packing my bags to stay here. But it was while camp was happening, I believe.
Yeah, it was August 17th. I mean, they were well into camp at that point, and he was just basically joined the team. And Ted Roof was the connection there. You remember correctly, he's from Hialeah, Florida. And they needed guys bad at that point. Like, there was still some turnover there. And they just needed bodies that could play, especially at linebacker. And was playing golf in Lancaster at that point. And I got a call from the same person that called me about Zettel. It's like, hey, you're the only one we're telling this, and it's going to, like, we want you to have the story. And you don't get that all the time. And it was a really cool gesture at that point. But Gary Wooten didn't turn out to be anything. You know, it was a cool addition. Penn State at that point did not get many guys from Florida. And this is a situation where you just basically brought him in sight unseen and got out there, and he joined the team, never really did anything. I think he ended up his career at Duquesne after a couple of years at Penn State. Don't believe he played all that much besides special teams here. But that was a cool one, in that he just, like, that does not happen in the middle of camp too. It's not like he came up in June when all the other guys enrolled and all of a sudden we're at Live for Life and we see this guy and we notice him. No, it's in the middle of camp. So they threw him into the fire and didn't turn out. But that was one of those things where they were kind of exhausting every kind of option that they had at that point.
For sure. Well, then the next year, Brennan Franklin, another linebacker. So this wasn't during camp, but this was right before camp. I think it was the end of July. So first off, let's set the table with Brennan Franklin. He's from Peoria, Arizona. Okay. I don't know about you, Sean, but I wasn't following Arizona too closely.
No, I think Ryan Nowicki had signed the year before from Arizona. And that's
right.
Like, I don't know if that was the in, but like, that's how they found themselves in Arizona. Like, you remember, they were scrambling bad at this point. I mean, 2012, obviously, you know, things happening at this point. They were basically looking for anybody that could play or would play for them. And it was not an easy sell, even for guys that were not good enough to play here, essentially.
For sure. So he was going to end up at Eastern Arizona Community College. And the deal that he had worked out, or at least what schools were telling him, was go to this community college for 6 months. And then I think he was talking to Arizona and Arizona State. and they said, hey, go play here. And then, you know, you can, I don't know if it was gray shirting at the time. There's not really much gray shirting, but there was some kind of a similar situation where he was going to end up at one of those two Arizona schools, or at least that's what he was telling us. And then he gets a call from Ted Roof one night, who they had a couple prior calls. It didn't seem like it went anywhere. And then boom, on a Friday night, he gets an offer from Ted Roof, signs his letter of intent. I think it was like a day or two later because they were still not quite in camp, I believe, at the time. And then he ends up getting to camp or enrolling, I don't know, within a matter of days. So that was just one of those other ones where it was kind of similar to Wooten, but it was just a little bit before camp while Wooten was during camp.
I remember talking to Mike Motti one time, and I asked him about his linebackers or whatever. And this was part on record, part off record, just, you know, standing there talking, whatever. And I asked him about Brennan Franklin. And first he said, who? And this is like a year into it, whatever. And then he gathers himself, and as only Mike Motti can do. Mike is a straight shooter. He goes, I will give you $5,000 if he ever steps on the field at Penn State. And I was like, oh, okay. So I'm going to take this to mean that probably shouldn't be talking about him too much. But yeah, that was a situation where they didn't do their due diligence, I would say. And it turned out that Brennan Franklin, not a quality addition to the program.
There were other ones, maybe we'll discuss later in the show, that I would agree with on that one. So Kevin Givens this was the following year then, or actually a couple years later, excuse me. Kevin Givens was class of 2015, I believe it was. I remember him committing to Pitt very early on, mm-hmm. comes to camp at Penn State, and then took a visit in November. And Kevin was never one to talk all that much. This was even really before Twitter taken off, right? I mean, Twitter was going on then, but not like it was now when, putting out all your offers. But
you found guys on Facebook. That's how you did it at that point.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Facebook was much more popular then to find that stuff. But I do remember him coming up for a visit and, everything he said was still all about Pitt. And then did he not? I mean, did he flip to Penn State on signing day? I believe it was, which kind of at least caught me by surprise. Did that catch you by surprise? I thought Kevin was someone we needed to mention.
Yeah, definitely. It was a surprise in the sense that I remember we both had something prepared because we had reached out, or someone had reached out to both of us and let us know that it was happening, but we couldn't say anything until he actually signed that day because of the general name. Like, if you remember at this point, that was 2015. So that's a year into Franklin versus Narduzzi in the fact that they were just like at each other, like crazy. Nick Bowers, that's a story. Givens, of course, but Givens is out in Altoona. It's different than Bowers being right up the road out near Pittsburgh. So that was one where they had worked, very, very diligently behind the scenes with Givens, and they didn't know what to do with him. Like, he camped as a linebacker for the O'Brien staff. Penn State liked him as a D end. They didn't actually, I do remember that now. They didn't want it written that he was going to be a defensive tackle, even though eventually they came around. They were like, yeah, he's going to be a spitfire, like guy that can get off the line, get into the backfield. And eventually that's what he was. I mean, he was a phenomenal player. But they did not want him knowing that their plans were as a defensive tackle. They wanted he played his red shirt or his freshman year as a defensive end before moving down. But that was a signing day surprise. I don't know how surprised Pitt was. I don't recall offhand, but I know that was a scenario where these guys were at each other like crazy. And that was just like it felt at the time like not a petty move, but it felt at the time like it was, we're going to take this guy because he's committed to you, instead of like, we're going to take this guy because we really like him. Again, he's in the NFL right now. So Penn State with a double win there.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
So I skipped over a class. I forgot the 2014 class. Now, this was before Franklin comes in, I believe. Now, this was the end of O'Brien's tenure, I believe, if I have that correct. And there were two guys. And you probably remember the details with Donte Raymond better. Linebacker, he was going to Delaware at the time from Rahway, New Jersey. And then it was also athlete Nico Robinson out of Florida. Just what do you, we'll start with Donte Raymond first, because you remember this one a little bit better than I do. I know he eventually ended up at Lackawanna, but I do remember him committing to Penn State, but like it wasn't out there at all. And we were talking to some people to get it confirmed. And I just remember that being a difficult situation where I think it took a couple days to lock it down, or at least a day or two, I thought.
So this was at the outset of the We Are Better tweets, and like nobody caught on. I think one of the first ones was like Troy Vincent or something like that. And then we're like, hey, there's something here. And it wasn't O'Brien. It was the Penn State recruits account, which is still active, but hasn't tweeted in 5 years, 6 years, something like that. This was a situation where Penn State needed bodies. They were, of course, short on scholarships, short on talent, and a lot of things like that. And we actually had to pry this one out of people. You and I were like working together, because the clues that we got was it's a linebacker and he camped. I remember that distinctly. It was a linebacker and he camped. And we're looking back through all our stuff, and linebacker is not exactly a position that you track during camp. So we eventually, I think you were the one that landed on it and got it confirmed. And, that was a weird one, man, because Donte didn't talk. He didn't talk to us. No. He didn't really talk to the staff. When Franklin came on board, he was one of the first to go. He was committed to Delaware, flipped to Penn State, flipped back to Delaware, and I think spent his freshman year at Delaware before going to Lackawanna. So that one never really turned out. Talented guy. Like, you put on his tape and he was fun to watch. But I don't know that he could have played at Penn State. So, that was one. Nico was unfortunate because he committed I think sight unseen in June 2012, a couple days after he got offered, and Penn State really liked him and brought him on campus. And there were some academic things that they couldn't work through, and he ended up at South Alabama, I believe. That one I felt bad for, because he came up, he was actually on campus, but he couldn't work out with the team. He couldn't do anything with the team until they got him cleared. And I remember texting Bill O'Brien, and he's like, I feel bad, like, because I'm going after this story. But at the same time, it was like so delicate at this point. He's like, he's a good kid. And that's basically all he said to me. And that's what he said on record a couple of days later, and never played for Penn State. I know there was some thoughts that he might pop up at like West Virginia or something like that, but I believe he went to South Alabama. He was from that Florida Alabama border right there. So that was a tough one, because they needed bodies at the time, and he was a pretty darn good athlete.
All right, 2015 to 2017 range. There's two other ones that popped up to my mind. You remember Josh Barajas, I think, a little bit better than me. I just remember him committing and then going to Notre Dame. I don't remember all the details for that one. Do you remember him too well? I remember some of it, but I want to make sure we get it right.
So he visited for, call it a junior day, whatever, in or spring practice or something like that in March of 2014. And then he committed a week later, like out of the blue. Like, everybody thought he was going to Notre Dame. It's one of those things where everybody thought he was going to Notre Dame, and then he shocked the world by going to Penn State. And then 2 months later, he's committed to Notre Dame. Like, and it's just one of those things where it just, everything kind of came out of nowhere. He was an All-American, a linebacker, which Penn State fans love their linebackers. And he just surprised everybody by going to Penn State, and then surprised nobody by flipping to Notre Dame. I think the surprise here, I thought he was a good player. Like, I thought he was a really good player. He didn't do anything at Notre Dame. And like, I think he bounced around, maybe went to Illinois State, if I'm going off the top of my head here, and really didn't do much there either. So I don't want to say Penn State dodged a bullet there, but Penn State had a great, what they thought was a great linebacker commit in that class of 2025. And then 2 months later, just turns around and flips. So just sometimes there's just an air of mystery about some of these guys. And Barajas fits that key. I was actually texting with Corey James beforehand, and Corey was doing recruiting for Scout at that time, and then came over and helped us out on 24/7. And Barajas was one that just like made him, we were texting, but it made him audibly giggle. So that was one of those things that you just put out of your mind because he was in the class for 2 months and then all of a sudden never heard from again.
Wasn't Derek Pitts the same situation though? Like we all thought West Virginia, he commits to Penn State and then goes to West Virginia, or maybe I get that wrong.
Penn State thought he was going to West Virginia, and then he committed to Penn State like on a live or something like that. And in July of 2016, and the Penn State staff was not prepared. Like they thought he was going to West Virginia. And so July 27th, 2016 is when he committed. So he not fooled the staff, but he caught the staff off guard. He caught us off guard. He caught, I think, don't quote me on this, but Chris Anderson may have had quotes about West Virginia. Like sometimes, and that's a funny thing here too, is sometimes we get quotes from guys for a particular school and something changes at the last minute. I know from talking to Doan, he had a guy that had quotes for Stanford and then all of a sudden flipped to Ohio State at the last second. And it's like, what do I do with these quotes? You know, that's the funny thing that when you talk about last minute switches and decisions and things like that. But Pitts was in the class for a while, took a visit to West Virginia in October, I believe it was, and then decommitted a couple of days later. So one of those ones where you thought all along he would end up at the school like Barajas, you know, he thought he would end up at Notre Dame. You thought Pitts would end up at West Virginia. He eventually did, but that was one that caught us off guard, caught the staff off guard, and kind of caught everybody off guard.
Pitts went to NC State eventually, right? I think he did.
He bounced around for a while. I know he got in some trouble. But
did he go to Marshall too?
He may have. I mean, I recognize his name from the earlier days of the portal, but I don't think that'd be an interesting Google search for someone to do.
I'm trying to find it here.
I haven't tracked his movements. We did skip one in 2013. Remember Jordan Smith, the corner?
Yeah. yes.
Go forgot, ahead. Forgot about
I,
him.
He was. You know the details better than me on that one. That's why I skipped it.
So he came up to camp in 2012. This is, you know, in the midst, like, I guess this was before the sanctions got announced and things like that. He came up to camp with Roman Morris and prime example. And, you know, he was with the top group, whatever. It wasn't anything special, but he was a guy that was done with his high school. And eventually, you know, he basically would be like a post grad now. They worked him out. They, didn't offer him at that point. And then I think in August, I remember it was on a bachelor party actually, where Roman calls me. He's like, hey, Jordan Smith's going to go to Penn State. And I'm trying to piece things together. And basically they took Roman's word, which I would too, you know, as a defensive back, a guy that they could get in right away, a guy that, you know, they thought could play with what they were doing. And at this point they're taking Anthony Smith, you know, Jordan Smith, they're taking guys that are not at the athletic level that you needed to be at this level, but still guys that could do something, give you a little bit of positional flexibility, guys that could play. Jordan was actually a key part of that Big Ten championship game or Big Ten championship team. He was the fourth or fifth corner, but Penn State played a lot of corners at that point. So Smith was able to work his way into a role there to his credit. I mean, he was one of those guys that legitimately worked his ass off to be a part of that team, to be a part of that championship. So that's cool to see. Like anytime you take a chance on somebody, as you think about Gary Wooten and Brendan Franklin and Dante, you know, some of these guys, the rewards aren't there, but for a guy like Jordan Smith to come in and have the impact that he did as an arrival like that, I think it's pretty cool.
All right. Couple more. So we're getting into the newer years now.
Yeah.
Michael Bowens. This is a fun one. So Michael Bowens didn't catch us by surprise when he committed or how he committed or any of that, because he came and visited and then committed shortly after. So we knew it. We just were very surprised that they were taking him, if I'm being blunt about it. Sean, I'll throw it to you.
We still kind of are.
Yeah. Yeah, I still never understood that one. Sean, I'll throw it to you. I just, obviously it didn't work out for him at Oklahoma. Is he still in the portal? I don't know if he fouled a home or not.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. But I'll say this. He came in for a visit, and there were four of them, and one of them was Darnell Washington, the Georgia tight end who was like the one of the freakiest of freaks that
he was like a five-star.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very big, and he can run. Like, he's offensive lineman size, can run like a receiver or whatever. So Penn State thought they might be able to get in there. I think the interesting thing about Micah Bowens was that day I reported that George Campbell was on campus, the Florida State wide receiver. And this is the very early, like, this is the first transfer portal cycle, whatever. So having a transfer on campus is a big deal. Penn State wanted George Campbell to play for them, but he did not get into grad school here, ended up at West Virginia, caught a few touchdowns for the Mountaineers and things like that. So at dinner, I report on George Campbell, and that's really cool. And then I went to a musical on campus at Eisenhower, the Carole King musical. So I'm sitting there, and my phone is just going crazy. And it turns out it was for Micah Bowens. And yeah, quarterback's a big deal in a class, obviously. But in hindsight, that was that's a tough one.
Never understood that one. Yeah, we now you bring up not Campbell. Who was the tight end? You just brought him up. The five-star. The group he came with.
Darnell
he was
Washington.
Like, Yeah. The group he came with, he was the one we weren't paying attention to at all.
I think they offered him. And nowadays when you bring in a group like that, like, you offer all of them because that's what you do. Like, that's kind of what an offer means. So, yeah, he was the throw-in. There was a running back in there. There was an offensive lineman maybe a defensive lineman. But it was, he is still in the portal, still is uncommitted, and still – was the one time I walked away from Penn State's camp watching a quarterback that had committed saying, are we sure about this, guys? That's that's kind of where we're at.
Some other people have since admitted that as well, but that's a story for another day. Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren is still – I don't think Tyler Warren's still on social media, is he? I think he's still –
I believe he's got an Instagram because I hit him up and got an interview through Instagram one time.
Okay.
And he's – but no Twitter. Like, in the age where like that kind of peaked, right? The offers and everything like that. He was a guy that was completely off the radar. He was a high school quarterback, you know, had some like really good offers and really good. Like, this one came down, I think, to Penn State and Michigan. He was committed to Virginia Tyler Tech Warren, early, remember, as a quarterback.
Yeah.
Clearly not a quarterback at this level. It was one of those things where it just kind of seemingly came out of nowhere. I do remember talking to someone about Tyler Warren in advance and thought about putting a crystal ball pick in at the time. And they're like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. That will out a lot of things. And I was like, fine, whatever. Cause sometimes there's a give and take here. And Tyler Warren was one of them. Good get for Penn State. He's been a quality tight end, been a quality special teams guy. I think he'll be in the mix for a special teams captaincy this year. So there's a lot to like about Tyler Warren, especially the way that he handled his recruitment. Like, that was like, there was nothing, absolutely nothing on that one.
Yeah. I got his coach for an interview. I don't know, maybe a month or two later. And his coach was like, no, he's not going to talk to you. Like, I've never had a coach say that. Like, at least your coach is like, yeah, you know, I'll do my best. You know, I'll talk to dad. I've never had a coach that's like, yeah, no, you got no chance. So that's something I'll remember. And I remember also, this was another situation where you and I had a joint call with somebody and they were helping us get the visitor list for that weekend. And they were like, oh, by the way, there's this kid coming from Virginia Tech, but you can't put it out there. And that's how I'm pretty sure we both learned about him, because the visit was a couple months before. I mean, I think it was the spring, because he committed to Penn State in early July. So I think it was probably like April-ish, I want to say.
Yeah, I want to say like he was committed to Virginia Tech early. But I want to say the first I had heard about him, aside from that, was like a local newspaper article. It was like, he's being recruited by Penn State, Michigan. I think Alabama was the school that was involved or something like that. And it didn't really ring a bell. So it made us look a little bit closer into that one. But that's one of those ones where silence is, golden and deadly at the same time if you're trying to actually get a story on it.
But if you look back at like his 24/7 profile and On3 profiles now, like we try to track all these visits. If you look back, you won't find a Penn State visit because we weren't allowed to put it out there. But he came to Penn State at some point. It was like March, April, May of 2019, because he decommits from Virginia Tech in May 2019. I think it was like a month before that. But that's just one of those ones I remember where you know, we had to try and keep that one quiet so we didn't have people mad at us. But all right, Ken Talley. This was, I don't know if we'll end on this one. We talked about Andre Roy and Carmelo and Devin, but Ken Talley was one I'll never forget just because we all knew he was coming to Penn State. That didn't catch us by surprise. What he tried to do, I think we've put this in some places at some points on message boards and things like that. He tried to throw us off. He gave us a video, I think it was, of him committing to Arizona State. And did he put that out publicly then or not? I don't know if he put it out publicly, but he definitely tried to throw us all off and say he was committing to Arizona State.
It was so, like, I don't know. We're smarter than we look. I know it doesn't take, you know, much, but, like, we knew he was going to Penn State. Like, we knew that, like, we knew it on this end. We knew it on the other end. We had some people at Arizona State at that point. And it's just one of those things where it's happened before, and Ken Talley is not the first person to do it. Not the last person to do it. Giving out fake quotes is like a harbinger of things to come, maybe, like, cause that's putting yourself on a different level in terms of recruiting. So yeah, that one was fun. And, it's so like, it's so stupid when you look back to it. Like,
silly.
Sometimes we call these guys and they're about to commit to Penn State, or they're about to commit to somebody. I remember Jalen Matthews last month was like, "Hey, we know you're going to Penn State. We're not going to come out and say it, but like we would like you to tell us that. And if you don't want to tell us that, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But to say I'm going to Arizona State or whatever it was at that point and give quotes about how much you like Coach Brenneman at Arizona State and things like that. That's
right. Brenneman was there.
Yeah. That's one of those fun things that, I mean, you just like, what are we doing here? Like going back to the Doan phrase, what are we doing here? And, that was one where, you know, he's not at Penn State anymore. So that's crazy to think about how that goes. And then the next class you've got Roy, and then the following class you've got Taylor, and those two kind of, you know, converge and then split apart and things like that. It's never a dull moment, huh?
Taylor, I didn't think was going to stick. I mean, I've put that on message boards. I didn't think it was quite the Roy situation, but I definitely thought that there was something going on there. So, hey, props to him. I was totally wrong, and I hope he has a great career. But I did not think Carmelo Taylor was going to end up signing in this past class. So, anyone else you can think of? The only one I could think of was Miles Hartsfield, and that wasn't catching us by surprise. It just was all the drama that came after Miles. Of course, there was a scandal about hazing at his school. And, I mean, I will say Miles was always really good to me, and he did end up at Ole Miss, and he ended up playing. And I was happy that – I was happy that he ended up getting the opportunity eventually. But I forget what the school was off the top of my head.
They were not happy that they couldn't take him. Like completely understand it. Coming off of everything that Penn State was coming off at that point, like you could not take Miles Hartsfield, and they wanted him badly. Like they wanted to figure out a way to make it happen. I know he went to prep school before he went to Ole Miss. I think he's still in the NFL or at least on practice squad or something like that. So he's floating around. They wanted to make that one work. It just, unfortunately, circumstances being what they are, it's tough to make that one. But I'm trying to think, like, I got Mike wrong. What's that?
Sayreville was the school, by the way. I just wanted to make sure. I couldn't remember it was. And that also reminded me of Vasheem Young, by the way, which was another wild situation. Wild.
That was on another level, man. I don't think we need to touch that one today. That was crazy. And the funny thing is, like, and I know I've mentioned this on our sites before, that like people still hold that against Penn State, like not taking Vasheem Young despite the armed robbery charges is still being held against Penn State and Philly by some. So that's crazy to think about, and it's crazy this world in terms of this recruiting world is nuts. As I mentioned before I get away from it, I was wrong on Mike Gesicki. I thought he was going to Ohio State. That was at a time when, you know, things were not going great for Penn State. Things were going great for Ohio State, and Penn State got a big win. So I will say this. I'll take that every day. I will take being wrong and the kid coming to Penn State over saying the kid's coming to Penn State and the kid going to Ohio State, because people forget about one. People don't forget about the other one. So that's how we work in that realm.
All right, man. I don't really have much else to add. We could do another podcast on all the crystal balls and mistakes I've made over the years ourselves. Maybe next week we can do that one. But I don't have much else to add. We're still another week or two away from really building a visitor list. We did talk to someone the other day, though, Sean. We asked, hey, who's all coming in March? And what'd they say? Everybody. Or everybody. Something like
that. Everybody's coming in March. So get ready for that one. Yeah.
So hopefully March will be a busy month. But I forgot to ask everybody again to like and subscribe. T-Frank, next week I'll get it right. But hey, we surpassed 10,000. So thank you everybody for subscribing to the YouTube page. $29.99 to subscribe to Blue White Illustrated right now. It goes until the start of the 2023 season. So if you're going to subscribe, you might want to do it here pretty soon. You're losing value there. But that'll be it for us this week. We'll be back next week. We'll try and find something pretty clever to talk about. But for Ryan Snyder, Sean Fitz, good podcast today, man. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.